Thanks, Mish, for the Bible reading. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Terence. I love to cook, take long walks on the beach. I'm a full-time model. No, sadly, I'm not. I like basketball. I like sports. I work full-time as a marketing and development manager. But today, I have the pleasure of giving the sermon. So let me get started. Let me just set up quickly. I'm also sick, so sorry in advance for the coughing. But how about I'm gonna put this on the floor. Cool. All right. Let me pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to sit here before your word today. Lord, open our hearts and open our eyes to your word as you speak to us. And let this word sink deep into our hearts and let it overflow into our lives. We pray for all this in your son's name. Amen. Cool. All right. So today's passage, Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14, is all about Paul's prayer to the Colossians. So Paul is one of the faithful Christians in the Bible. And at this time, as he writes to the church in Colossae, Paul's actually in jail. He's never met the Colossians, but he tells us that when he heard of them, he prayed for them and he prayed for them deeply. And today is all about prayer. So that makes me really want to ask, what do you guys pray for? I'm keen to get a show of hands. I remember my first prayers consisted of good exam marks. Who's prayed for that? I know. Yeah, XAR, I thought so. I remember praying for the girl that I liked, the crush, to like me back. Who's prayed for that? Yeah, I thought so. And I remember praying that when things were hard, for God to take away the hard, I guess, take away the pain, don't worry about that one. And so now I remember praying these things constantly, over and over, routinely. When I actually first became a Christian, for a good year or two, I said the same prayer before I slept. It literally went, "Dear God, thanks for this bed I can sleep on. Please keep my family and I safe. Please keep us healthy and happy. Please bless us. Amen." And I said that same prayer over and over again every night for like a good 2 years. My sister, she said her first prayer a few years ago when I went to the hospital. I had stomach spasms. She said her first prayer and she asked God, to take away the pain, to heal me. Joey last week used a great description of where prayer in sports is seen as a last second, last minute desperation attempt to tie the game, to win the game. And so I go back to my question, what do you guys pray for? And when I ask you guys, what do you guys pray for? I'm not talking about one-off prayers. I'm talking about what do you guys pray for often, routinely? Because today, as we go through Colossians, Paul shows us what it is that we should be praying for daily, what we should be praying for routinely, things that we should be praying for that actually matter. And so, Paul's prayer is split up into four requests. As Paul prays, there are four things that he wants the Colossians to understand, four things he wants them to be praying about, and four things that he wants to really for them to, as they pray, really go deep into their lives so that it actually leads to a changed life. And these four things are very applicable for us. The first thing that Paul actually prays for is for the Colossians and for us as Christians to grow in our knowledge and insight into the will of God. For those of you that have the bulletins, you can follow the sermon outline if that helps. We read in verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Growth in knowledge and insight concerning the will of God. The will of God. It's another way of saying what God wants, what God desires, what he wants for the world, for us. The will of God. We live in an age, we're very blessed to have so much Christian material, accessible on the internet, sermons online and blogs and all these deep talks and whatnot that are really accessible, and they talk about so many different themes and topicals. Yet when you want to look for topics on the will of God, what God wants for the world and for us, instantly it becomes a lot harder. And so what do we do as Christians? Well, sometimes we make the mistake, maybe unintentionally, of really substituting our own will and just making it sound spiritual. There's a prayer that Jabez in the 1 Chronicles that he prays that actually a lot of Christians around the world like to pray. It's a nice prayer. It goes, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." That basically means, bless me, give me more, stay with me, keep me from harm and pain. It's a prayer that many people like because you're asking for blessing, for less problems, and for more goodness. And as a one-off prayer that you pray in a maybe a specific situation, fine. But when you pray that one daily, over and over again, well, then it starts to make you think, what do Christians pray for today? Is it actually just praying for themselves? Paul's first request that he gives us is for us to actually open our eyes, step back a bit. As you pray, have you ever thought about what God's thinking or what God wants? What Paul wants of us as we pray is to think about God's will, what God wants for us. Grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's will. That's his first request. We're reminded in Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." All those things I said at the start of this sermon, things that we pray for, exam marks, maybe asking God, "God, should I take this job or this job? God, is this girl the girl that I want to marry?" Praying for all these things, it's not that God doesn't care, but it's just, is it all, when you pray to God, are you praying for your will to be done? Or are you actually praying and asking God, "God, show me what you want"? That's my question to you guys as you guys pray. Are you praying for God's will? And if you're not, well, then Paul's first request for you guys is to please ask God to grow in your understanding and knowledge of what God wants in your life. So then that really brings forward the question, what is God's will? What does God want? What does God want for each and every one of us? It just sounds like such a broad mystery. But in fact, God actually reveals his will to us in the next couple of verses. And that actually leads to Paul's second request, a worthy and pleasing walk. The whole point of learning more about God, his ways, his thoughts, his will, is to really live a pleasing life and a worthy life for him. We read in verse 10, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Just as, think about when you go through different stages of your life, as you accept a new change, a new, I guess, major force, driving force in your life, does it or does it not force you to change the way you act, the way you live? When you go from primary school to high school, you realize, oh, wait a second, I can't just, play around anymore. I actually have work and assignments. As you go from high school to uni, you realize, oh, wait, my marks actually count towards possibly a career. I need to step up my work a bit. As you go from uni to the workforce, oh wait, I'm getting paid to actually do this job. See how as you go through particular changes, as there's a driving force in your life, it changes the way you live your life. Well, so too does the gospel. As you grow, according to Paul's first request, as you grow in your knowledge and understanding of what God wants, then it only makes sense for it to then drive you and push you to want to live a life that is worthy and pleasing to God. That's part of God's will. God, what God wants is for us to live a life that is pleasing to him, that bears fruit for him, that's worthy to him. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 2, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And that's really what this is all about for us. If you understand what God wants, but you then don't live a life that's pleasing to him, if you don't live a life that's changed for him, then what's the point? What's the point of the first request? What's the point of growing and wanting to understand God more if when you finally understand God, you go, oh, yeah, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. This should really push you and change you. Paul's second request is a continuation of the first one. It links on perfectly. As you grow in your knowledge and insight concerning the will of God, you will then see the motivation to live a worthy and pleasing walk. But to do that, that requires Paul's third request, which is spiritual power. Now, this is an interesting point, because when I say spiritual power, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, we're talking Bible, so is it performing miracles? Is it raising the dead? Is it healing the sick? Is it commanding angels? Or is power actually, maybe more applicably in today's society, is power status in the society? Is it money that you have? What is power? Well, the irony of it all is that as we read in verse 11, we read that in Colossians it says, verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So that you may have great endurance and patience. The irony of it all is that spiritual power is actually endurance and patience. And that's just ironic. We live in a world where everything is easily attainable. Everything is quick. You can buy things with a swipe of a card with PayPal. You can buy things online now. Efficiency and quickness is power. Yet here, Paul is telling us that real power is patience. Real power is endurance. And that's really only emphasized further when we read in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6, Peter writes, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. So perseverance is another word for endurance and patience. And really, as Peter writes this, he's writing out a list of characteristics that as Christians we should desire, because they're good, because they're fruitful, because they help you with living a worthy and pleasing life that I spoke about in Paul's second request. Spiritual power comes in the form of patience. And let's be honest, patience isn't really a strong point in the world today. How many of us are actually patient when we can get things so quickly? Why wait when you can get instant access? Why wait for the long haul when you can get so much reward now? But Paul's telling us right now that real power comes in the form of patience. It comes in the form of endurance. And not only that, but we read in verse 11 in Colossians that being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. According to his glorious might. That means all this power that I've been talking about, you can't get it. You can't get it unless God gives it to you, because that's where the power is from. If you want to be patient, you want to be enduring, ask God to make you patient and enduring. This is only emphasized further when in 2 Peter. I said that Peter wrote out a list of characteristics that we want to have. Well, he actually wrote beforehand in the few verses before, in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power. God is the one who will give you this power if you want it. And so then that's my question. Knowing that true power comes in the form of patience and endurance, do you guys want it? And if you want it, well, you know where to get it. Only God will can give you true power in that form. So then that's Paul's third request. Paul so far has had three requests. He's asked us to, firstly, as we pray, grow in our knowledge and understanding of what God wants. And when you get it, let that transform the way you live your life. Let it lead to a pleasing and worthy walk. And to do that, you need power. You need help, and that help comes from God. And that power comes in the form of endurance, comes in the form of patience. The last request that Paul has as he prays is for us to have a thankful heart. In verse 12, we read, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." This part is huge because if, as we read the Bible, if there's anything that we learn, is that humanity is not thankful. We read in the Bible in the past where God rescued his people, the Israelites, from slavery from in the Egyptians. And then the moment the Israelites go through a bit of struggle, a bit of trial, a bit of obstacle, they complain to God and they're no longer thankful anymore. Humans aren't thankful. And the key here, why I'm saying that, is because humans struggle to be thankful when times are hard. Paul's fourth request here is for us to have a thankful heart at all times, when things are good and when things are bad. I mean, think about it. If you're going through a hard time and you're able to say thank you, God, still, then there's something that doesn't make sense. There's something that's just absolutely otherworldly about it. And that's really the reason why Paul requests for us to pray. And as we pray, we ask God for a thankful heart. We're reminded that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." God's will means living a life that is pleasing to him. It means doing it by being patient and enduring, and doing it with a thankful heart. And you can't do these things unless you pray and ask God for his help to give you these things, these requests. And so these are the four requests. Paul has requested us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of what God wants as we pray, and let that prayer really drive into our lives so that we live a life that is pleasing to him, a life that is about being patient and enduring, a life that is about being thankful. And so, what does that mean for applying it to ourselves? Well, it actually starts with remembering. All these things that I've talked about so far, they mean nothing to you if you don't remember. If you don't remember, as we read in verses 12 to 14, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." What do we need to remember? Well, let's actually start with this idea of qualified. To qualify for something, you normally need to put in a lot of time and work to qualify for something. To qualify for a promotion at work, you need to put in the time and effort in the office so that your boss recognizes you and gives it to you. To get good exam marks, you need to qualify for a pass or a HD or whatever it is you're aiming for. You need to put in the time and effort to work. To have good friendships, to qualify for a good, a real friendship, you need to put in the time and effort in that friendship. Qualification requires time and effort. And yet, What we're called to remember here is that we are qualified. We're qualified to an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Inheritance is that we've been blessed into an eternal kingdom, a kingdom of light where we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and where we're saved into for eternity. Thing is, so that's the inheritance, and we're actually already qualified for it. And so that means work has already been done. We haven't actually had to do any work to get this inheritance. I'm saying that there is a reward out there, and it's ours already because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so my first point of application starts remembering. When you remember what God has done, that God has qualified you through Jesus Christ on the cross, dying for you, saving you, then rising again and assuring you this, qualifying you for this inheritance, only then will you be able to live and pray. These four points that I've talked about, they're four points that Paul treats as very, very important, things that are worthy of prayer. And you can't do these things unless you remember what God has firstly done for you. Paul prayed about the things that mattered. He prayed that that the Colossians would have an increased knowledge of God and his will, which would then lead to a pleasing walk before the Lord. Paul prayed that the Colossians would be strengthened so that they could have patience and endurance and even rejoice and be thankful during their times of testing. Things that, as Christians, we actually all need. And he wanted them to be reminded. He wanted them to remember of their position in Christ, that they are already qualified, that they already have this inheritance, this kingdom, this eternal kingdom where they are redeemed, they're saved, they're forgiven, eternal peace and joy, that it's theirs, and that let this be the driver for these four things that you pray and live out. You know, prayers that I talked about at the start of the sermon, things like, bless me, Lord, give me more, Lord, help me, Lord. They're not bad, and it's not that God doesn't care and doesn't listen. It's just that these seem to appeal more to us. They fit our will more because I guess our prayers are more focused on us. But we're Christians, and we're Christians with a heavenly Father who wants to see his children grow up and mature. You know, a lot of you have been around in the Christian game long enough, and I want to challenge you guys and to really think about, what do you guys pray for routinely? Is it actually more so focused on you than it is focused on God? And for those of you that, I guess, aren't yet a Christian or that are new to all this, I want you guys to actually not worry about these four points yet, but actually to start with remembering. Because, like I said, unless you remember, unless you know, and unless you understand what God has done for you, that God has pulled you out of the darkness and into the light, that although death was meant to be the end and the punishment, but God has said, no, my son will die on the cross so that and rise again, so that not only are you forgiven for your sins, but that death is not the end. Unless you remember and you know what God has done, there's no way that you can pray these things routinely and daily. And there is no way that you guys will be able to live out the will of God. And to pray for the things that matter. Because according to Paul, these are the things that matter. And so I want to encourage you guys, as you guys go out and pray, may you guys pray wholeheartedly and routinely over the things that actually matter. Praying that you may grow in your knowledge and understanding of what God wants in your life, which means living a worthy and pleasing walk for Him, doing it with patience and endurance and a thankful heart. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to start by giving thanks as we remember what you've done for us. Lord God, we were blind and we were lost in our sins. And we sometimes still are. We're not perfect and we let you down and we probably will let you down in the future again. But Lord, we want to thank you because you sent your son Jesus to die on that cross. And when he died, all our sins were forgiven. And when he rose, We were qualified for this inheritance, this spot in your eternal kingdom. And so, Lord, as we remember, Lord, let that be the motivation and driver of our prayers. Let it push us to want to better understand your will. Let us better understand your will and your desire to see us live a pleasing and worthy walk, which is driven by power in the form of endurance and patience and a thankful heart. We thank you, Lord, and we pray for this in your Son's name. Amen.